Hi, welcome to Story Hole,
a podcast exploring the lore behind the most important stories in the world.
So pull a chair up by the fireplace
and let us put a story in your hole.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Little Roger.
I'm Big Joey. Yeah,
I'm just regular size Brian.
Yeah, you're just right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right in the middle. I'm the
you're the mama bear. Yeah. You're the mama bear that's in the bed. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I don't know if you audience know that the three of us are teachers, but I was teaching today. Do you guys know this is a thing that struck out to me? The Jonestown flood or the Johnstown flood?
No.
Isn't there a Jonestown massacre? Is that the same
thing?
There's the Jonestown massacre, but then there's the Johnstown. Sorry, I said it wrong. Johnstown flood.
The poor guy, he was shooting people in a flood? That's fucked up.
Well, they got flooded by Kool-Aid. You didn't know?
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, it was something that I remember like reading a book about, and it like really affected me as a kid. And I asked my kids, I'm like, you ever heard this about, like, have you ever heard this before? They're like, no, this is the first time we ever heard about it. And it got me thinking about the things that we learn as kids that we think are going to be a really big deal and then don't. So my first question to you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I was going to ask, what is yours that you were like, oh, I thought, like, for me, the Iditarod. I don't know why I thought the Iditarod was going to be, like, a really important thing for me.
Definitely. But there was a time in the 90s where I feel like the Iditarod was a hot ticket. Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
I remember there was, like, multiple books, and mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I knew what I would do, and, like, I'd name all my dogs and we'd have this bond.
Yeah, that's probably just Big Dog coming out and getting their corporate shit all
big
over
dog,
us.
Big Dog t-shirts?
Big Dog t-shirts. They're trying to sell us the product.
My Big Dog t-shirt was, life is a race, slow down.
You can't run with a Big Dog, stay on the porch. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
So what was your guys's? Was yours quicksand, Roger?
I mean, I can't take credit for that. I was listening to a different podcast, a better podcast. I think it was
podcasts? What the
fuck? Did somebody already get to this topic?
Yeah. Well, they were talking about how quicksand seemed like a big deal when we were kids in the early 90s. And then it really isn't anything that comes up in real life. For me, I don't know
what
if I have
like
one.
Candy for like Halloween. Everybody said that you're going to get drugs. Who's going to give you their drugs and their candy?
Or put a razor blade in candy.
Yeah.
I hope that like this doesn't, I mean, I don't think any of my wife's family actually listens to this because they all hate me. But they were all talking about like, you got to watch out with that Halloween candy. These drug dealers are putting fentanyl in
the
candy.
Well, that was a big
candy
thing this past year because of rainbow fentanyl.
Yeah, and everyone's like, nobody's going to give away free drugs.
Yeah.
Like, no one's doing
that. It's ridiculous.
I also heard something about how, like, you can trace when these news stories come up about, like, pushing drugs on kids. It always coincides with specific state pushes to increase the funding for policing. So, like, that fentanyl one, I think it came up in Washington, and it was around the same time that the state was asking for more money for, like, you know, state police. So it's just a way of scaring people into, like, paying for more cop training.
Into paying for mm-hmm. for
big cops.
That's wild.
That's super fucked up to ruin generations of childhood fun so that we can get more policing.
That's
I mean, crazy. Think about how fun police are for kids though. So
yeah,
it's a wash, I guess.
I do want to say this real quick though. Shout out to Josh Williams, our friend.
Hi Josh.
We were talking about this, about how no one's ever died of candy or drugs in their candy. Because no one would do that. Surprise, there are two cases. One of them is a guy named Ronald Clark O'Brien, but he just killed his own kids, I think, with the candy.
It's always
and
been
then there's also
insular, right? It's never somebody giving out poison candy.
Yeah. But there's also recently, this year, some younger guy got caught trying to like drug kids
or
something.
Are you sure that's true? Are you just participating in the urban legend?
I'm trying to keep
Halloween
alive. It's falling apart.
Are you related to cops or what? Where is this coming from?
I don't want to be a teacher anymore. That you've outed me. I'm going to try to be
cops. You'd be the worst cop.
Yeah.
You'd pull somebody over and you'd be like, you can go.
Yeah.
You don't have the heart for
I mean,
it.
That's probably true. Yeah. Oh, you have to go home to your dog?
Okay.
That's nice. Send me a picture, okay? Yeah, you're right. I will say this, Brian, to answer your question. Cursive was my answer, but cursive. It's not real. My real answer was because like when I was a kid, remember they told us all that we had to learn cursive because that was like the proper. Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I hate when people write in cursive now.
Yeah, I can't read it. When my kids write in cursive, I'm like, what is this?
What is this garbage?
Too many loops. My real one was I had a strange, like, I don't want to call it maturity because it's not that, but this weird, it was
puberty.
A fear of, maybe in my brain over quick brain. I don't know what to call it. I was afraid of getting drafted into the war, and I was afraid that I wouldn't get into college and I wouldn't be able to get a job because of that. And I wouldn't be able to support my family. I used to cry myself to sleep when I was in like third and fourth grade.
When you say into the war, are you thinking World War II? Because that's like the war, right? And I got good news for you. It's over, baby. We won.
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't thinking of World War II. I was thinking of Vietnam.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I mean, weren't you that
How
age?
How old are you, Joey?
Yeah.
Shit. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a case for reincarnation because I don't know why I would possibly think I was going to get drafted and die in Vietnam in third grade. What is
in
that?
In third grade, I remember my mom like came 1988, in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'd be probably for me, though. I would have been like... Yeah, like 1990.
I mean, you could have gone to Desert Storm, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad. I'm so glad my mom convinced me to like break my arm so I couldn't get drafted.
You ran to Canada.
Yeah, what a good mom. Thanks, Mom.
Do you have one, Brian?
I mean, mine was the Iditarod, for sure.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For some reason, all I remember of my early childhood education is a deep love of the Iditarod and like the Huskies that would take me around and the book Hatchet and how when I was out in the wilderness, I'd survive and I would hope that I would have dogs with me too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as close as I ever got.
In Hatchet, does the boy die in Hatchet?
No, he survives, right?
He dies in Hatchet too. Spoiler alert.
Okay, well, I'm just not going to read that one, so I never have to learn the truth. Learn the grizzly truth.
Does a grizzly bear kill him? Are you like hinting at something?
Well, don't tell me. I just said I don't want to read it.
Why are you hinting? It's like learn the gunshot to the head truth.
Well, do you guys mind if I spoil Hatchet 2 for you?
Fine. You just ruined my childhood.
He does die from a grizzly bear, but it's not because the grizzly bear mauls him. The grizzly bear gives him syphilis. And it goes untreated and dies from it.
I thought you were going to say the grizzly bear Darth mauls him. You like cuts him in half? Dude, it gets robot legs. That's fine.
I still say, and I know this is just totally off, but this kind of, I guess, goes into it. I know that I'm alone in this, but I think Darth Maul is so stupid. He's such a stupid character.
I've heard there's a redemption for him in the animated series, but I haven't seen it, so I can't.
When he gets his...
In the Clone Wars,
when he gets
cool.
his legs like back that, because there's like a force switch, I still say that's stupid.
Yeah, I honestly don't know enough about a story to say.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, I'm not gonna defend it.
Anyways,
you
speaking
win, Brian.
Of stars, one of the things that I was thinking that was like a deeply embedded thing in my childhood that I think is embedded in everybody's childhood is the planet Pluto. And
yeah, hell yeah, that's
one
my
of
planet.
The things that I wanted to talk about is how it stopped being a planet and whether or not that's justified or why that happened. I mean, I'm assuming you guys heard like when the big news dropped that like Pluto's not a planet. And
I cashed in hard on that.
Is that
did you?
Yeah, I did. I made a shirt that was like, it was a picture of Pluto and it said never forget on it. And sold a bunch of them. Neil deGrasse Tyson has one, and he took a picture wearing it. So,
man, that's great.
I'm rich off that Pluto money.
I was going to say this is all Neil deGrasse Tyson's fault, but you kind of got the best of him. So
yeah,
I'm
really
okay
good.
With it.
I was actually going to bring him up in one of my points. So what I was hoping to do, generally what I wanted to try to accomplish is to talk about what happened. So what is Pluto? Why did it get downgraded to dwarf planet? And what do we do with all that information? Like, does it matter? Or is it just another Iditarod where it's like, what, you know, whatever. We're
no
adults
actual,
now.
No actual impact on our lives.
Yeah. In the end, it's like, it's still, it's out, still out there floating. So, or is that appropriate? Do things float in space?
Oh, yeah.
Or they
big time.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't floated till you've done it in space, baby.
Hey, can I bring up an important point?
I really hope you won't.
What's the like mnemonic device so you can remember the order of the planets?
Jumanji.
I'm gonna say it's a movie for me and Jason, my friend.
Let me look this up. What's the famous one?
Yeah, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Venus. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Yeah, that tracks. Movie for me, Jason.
No, okay.
Jason.
What about Pete?
Jason, he's
peeing at the movie theaters. That's what I'm getting.
So the one that I remember is my very eager mother just served us 9 pizzas. Did you guys ever learn that? Okay.
Pizzas for some reason. I remember my very eager mother.
I didn't learn shit about space.
It might have been 9 pancakes in your part of town.
Oh, that might have. Yeah, we're a pancake. Uh-huh. And it makes more sense because it's, you know, the shape of a
planet. I'm also looking at a list of mnemonic devices for the planet order. And this one says, men very easily make jugs serve useful needs, perhaps.
My point was that if we
cut off Pluto, it does have a lasting impact on our actual lives because we can't use these mnemonic devices anymore. My very eager mother just served us 9.
The other one, you can easily take perhaps, off that perhaps yeah. and you'd be fine.
They saw it coming on that one and they're like, we'll leave that
we
optional
know what's
at
happening.
The end.
Mm-hmm. I like how that just takes away that statement's uncertainty. And now we know for sure that jugs are useful. So let's go on a ride and try to figure out what's going on with Pluto. The word planet derives from an ancient Greek word for wanderer. Ancient Greeks didn't necessarily understand to the full extent why some of the stars in the sky moved around or roamed around randomly, where some of them were more static. They were just observing with the naked eye early planets. And so that's something that then stuck, and which is going to be kind of a big thing when it comes to naming celestial bodies as a whole. Like pretty much, I mean, if you guys didn't realize that a lot of the planets and such in our solar system are Greek or Roman myths or gods.
Oh,
that's going to be something.
So do we name them Greco-Roman names because the Greeks are the ones that first noticed planets?
I think there's some of that.
I can tell you, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Aratus of Soli was a guy who wrote, he's an old Greek guy. He wrote a poem that talks about all 48 of the modern constellations.
Does he really?
Yeah, so he named them all. Well, he didn't necessarily name them all, but he compiled all the stories that the Greeks had who basically made the constellations.
And I think we're also probably overwhelmingly like Western centric.
Yeah, everything is Greek
and,
inspired.
Yeah, and if it's Western derived, their obsession with Greco-Roman as like a classical standard, I'm assuming also plays into it. So anyway, we could just jump right ahead from ancient Greece to 1930, and there's a astronomer named Clyde Tombaugh who finds the planet Pluto. And pretty much he kind of sets us off onto the next 76 years where Pluto sat comfortably as the 9th planet in our solar system.
Hey, when he discovered the planet, did he get to name it? Was that his choice, or do you think somebody else comes in and names it for him after that?
I think you get to name it. I'm pretty sure he got to choose the choice of that, and he wanted
to
wait a minute.
Tom Bombadil. It's called name it
Tom Bombadil.
Yeah.
Which came first, Pluto the planet or Pluto the Disney dog? I'm gonna look it up.
Oh. Pluto, the Disney dog, probably comes after, right?
I don't know. 1930 is pretty late.
I feel like that's in the Disney game.
Okay. Pluto's first appearance was on August 6, 1930.
Oh, my God.
What the hell? This is what a good sync up.
Do you have an exact date for when Pluto was discovered?
I don't think I do. Let me see.
Okay, I'm
going to
look it up.
Out. Yeah, let's.
I'm flipping through the pages of this book.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding, I don't have books. February 18th, 1930. So the planet came first, but only by a handful of months.
Maybe he was like in the writing room, you know, and he knew that there was going to be this cool new character.
Astronomer slash Disney writer. Tom Bombadil.
You know, cartoonist. And so what he finds out early on is there's a lot of like unique characteristics about Pluto. It's not
It's handsome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. its orbit actually intercepts Neptune's, which is interesting.
Is that weird? Do most planets not intercept each other?
Every single other planet's orbit is kind of in a single disk.
Wait, so is there a chance that those two planets might run into each other?
Theoretically, yes.
That would be so embarrassing.
Incredibly rare because of how massive their orbits are. And like the speeds that they go. But yeah, I guess in a long enough timeline, Pluto could just go smack into Neptune. But Neptune is super gassy, right? So nice. That would just be really embarrassing.
What would that sound like when they hit, if Neptune's so gassy?
Joey, do it.
Oh, God. I knew you guys were going to come to me for this. I'm not your go-to fart noise-making man. I'm not
guy.
That.
That's what we have you here for, Joey.
No.
It's on your business card.
You're going to make me snap, and I will become a cop one day, and then I'll give you a ticket.
I don't think we talked about cops in this timeline.
Oh, we didn't? Well, I'll emphasize that. It's going to make me snap one day, and I'm going to be a cop, and then I'm going to arrest you.
Roger, give me your best fart. Or Neptune, Pluto.
Okay.
Smash.
Toot.
Anyways.
How about this one? Did that pick up?
No, it's complete silence.
Yeah. All the sound effects for like the old Disney were all done with instruments, right? So it'd just be like a big cymbal hitting.
It'd be like a trombone.
Yeah. Wow. Another thing that they discover about Pluto is that it might have a very large moon or binary status. They do eventually name this celestial body Charon. And so they're not quite sure if they want to classify it at that point in time as Pluto being a planet and Charon being a large moon, or a binary planet system where they orbit each other as they orbit the sun.
Hey, Roger, give us a Charon fact.
Charon, he is, you know, the Burger King charbroiled burger?
Yeah.
Named after Greco-Roman god Charon.
which Greco-Roman god is he?
Charon, right?
Yeah, but I mean, describe what that is.
I don't even think he's a god. He's the boatman that takes you across the River Styx when you die.
Well, he can't be mortal then, right?
He's also one of the starter Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Is that like the lower phase of Charmander?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when he's just a little nugget with a little flame coming out of his butt.
Let me hear. Can you make his noises?
Oh, yeah, it goes. What? I don't know what the fuck to do.
I think he's looking for, like, you know how, like, Charmander goes, like, Charmander.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Like a Charon.
That's good.
That's good. It's very cute.
It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah. Charon. There's some longing in that one. I had a neighbor who just applied to the police, and they actually send somebody around to do like character references, and they came to
me.
And if they ever actually do that, if you actually do try to become a cop, Joey, I'm going to remind them of this conversation and be he's a good dude, but this one time he went, Charon.
Just give them the recording of it. They just play it on repeat in the dark, slamming the desk.
If you want to be a cop, they just send somebody around to interview your neighbors to see if you're a good guy or not.
I think so.
Interesting.
That's kind of cool.
What did you say about your neighbor? Spill the beans.
Not much. He's pretty new to the neighborhood, so I was like, I don't know him very well, but he seems nice. It was a bummer of a thing. Yeah, he just got here. I don't know. So I don't know. I didn't want to be mean, but I didn't want to, you know, lie and say like, I love him. He's the best friend I've always wanted.
I'm in love with him.
Yeah. That's a hard thing to do because you want to be the pal to the guy who is like, Did you ever hear that phone call? It's an Australian phone call.
Yes.
For context, everyone who's listening, there's a prank phone call where it's already pre-organized from a friend tells the radio station to call his buddy and say like, hey, I'm going for a job interview. I just picked this number at random from the phone book. If they call you, will you just tell them I'm a good guy? And so he's like, yeah, sure, mate, I'll do it. And then they hang up, they call him back, and they pretend to be that guy.
And they pretend to be the job, you mean?
Yeah, pretend to be the job. And then that random guy who is the friend who doesn't really know better ends up giving like the best review of his like not friend random guy from the phone. It's so charming and funny.
It's very
and like
cool.
It's really, really cool. And it's kind of like that.
And like the interviewer keeps on asking like pretty crazy questions. And he's like, oh yeah. And like building a story and creating this relation. It's very fun.
It's like I knew him from like the footy club. He doesn't play much. He keeps saying like, what do you get from him when you look at him? He's like, well, with this guy, it's what you see is what you get, you know what I mean? And what you see is good. So it's pretty solid.
So very unlike that guy. Eventually, the International Astronomical Union, or the IAU, decides to get something up their butt in 2006 and decide whether or not Pluto is a planet. I don't quite understand why then or why they decide to address it in August of 2006.
70 years after they announced that Pluto's a planet, they're revisiting the topic.
Dorky assholes trying to ruin everyone else's time.
Yeah, they just kind of want to take away people's fun.
Yeah.
And they do, in that meeting, downgrade Pluto to a dwarf planet. To explain a little bit about what that is, apparently they come up with three criteria of what a planet needs to do or have to be a planet. Number one, it must be round. The reason it has to be round is it has to be, that sounds really stupid, but it actually is like scientifically relevant. It has to have enough mass so that it will create a spherical shape. If it doesn't have enough mass, it won't get there. And so it's like a more mass relevant kind of concept. So that's one. Two, it must orbit the sun. And both of these things Pluto has done successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the third thing that Pluto fails at. A planet must have cleared the neighborhood of its orbit. Basically saying as the planet travels around the sun, its gravity is sweeping and clearing the space around it of like asteroids and comets. And generally they do that by grabbing it with its gravity and then having it crash against the planet or send it spiraling off into space or picking them up as a moon. And that's what Pluto fails at. I think some part is because of so much astronomical debris that's also out there.
It's right at the edge, right? So there's just a lot more trash out there.
There's so much stuff out there, as well as the fact that it then interrupts Neptune's orbit, which kind of then goes against it. And because it
what
only
does that sound like?
It goes, sprrr. If you do 3 out of 3, you are a planet. If you do 2 out of 3, you are a dwarf planet. And Pluto is now downgraded.
Yeah. What if you only do 1 out of 3? What's that called?
You're a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like a scientific destiny.
Because I was just thinking, I'm round. You know, I got that one.
Yeah.
Is it because you're massive enough that your gravity did what it needed to do?
Yeah.
It did what it needed to do.
So the one bit of hope that comes out of this is the IAU, International Astronomical Union, said at least in this decision, when it's all said and done, Pluto hadn't cleared its neighborhood yet, which is interesting. It's like, oh, so are you saying we downgraded it as a dwarf planet, but if it were to do its job in the future and pick up
it
some other
mature
shit,
to a planet.
It could be develop. And I was cool.
It's like a demotion. Earn your way back up.
Our little guy has another
kind
chance.
Puberty.
Yeah. He's like a tween right now.
He's going to a Taylor Swift contest. Right now.
Yeah, he would go to Taylor Swift if he could just get a ticket. Am I right?
Yeah, I know. The Ticketmaster sucks.
Ticketmaster, Monopoly.
Hey, was it 3 p.m.?
Are we selling my ticket? What's that about?
Can you guys stop?
maybe if you get us those tickets, huh?
Yeah. Let me hear your best New York accent, Roger. Go.
Hey.
Sweet.
Hey, pepperoni pizza.
That's not bad.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah, that's racist, though. Yeah. Don't do that. Only me and Joey can do that. Roger.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The thing is, it's so small, and it has the widest berth around the sun. So for it to clear that out, they should give it some, like, a grace period, you know?
It's got a lot of miles to cover.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the things that's going to come up when people are like, this is kind of bullshit. But before we get to that, real quick. So we got no longer 9 planets. We have 8 planets going up to Neptune. Mm-hmm. But now we have Pluto as a dwarf planet plus other dwarf planets. I don't know if you're aware of Makemake, Haumea, Eris, and Ceres.
These are all more planets?
These are 4 additional dwarf planets. So Pluto, Makemake, Haumea, and Eris are all beyond Neptune, and Ceres is in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter.
Huh. Ceres is one I think is everybody kind of knows about, right? It's like,
yeah. No, I don't know about that.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, Ceres was here forever, and then the other ones were like newer.
Yeah.
It's weird that they dropped the Greco-Roman naming convention for those new ones.
We ran out of names.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, they have, at least with Eris, it's named after the goddess of strife and discord, which is kind of interesting. And the reason why that's kind of topical is Eris is more massive than Pluto, but smaller. And so if Pluto comes back to planethood, like if we redefined it and Pluto's back in, we're probably never going back to 9 planets. Because Eris will probably be coming in. So it's either going to be 8 planets with assortments of dwarf planets or 10 planets with Eris squeaking in as the goddess of strife and discord just to mess with our learning.
I feel like we just got to shoot for a dozen at this point.
Yeah. So with all this, the IAU only acknowledges 8 planets, 5 dwarf planets. But in that area beyond all of this, the Kuiper Belt, there's 200 additional things that could be dwarf planets, as well as 10,000 other things.
When you say things, is it because we don't know what they are yet? Or we know what they are and we're just not sure if it counts as a planet?
I just don't even want to try to, like, say the wrong word. There's just, like, space shit, like, by the thousands out there. Mm-hmm. And it just gets so difficult because we're constantly finding new additional things and trying to figure out what's going on. And
so at some point,
we
just have to say enough is enough. This is all we got as far as planets are concerned.
And
right?
As much as I understand, that was all the IAU was trying to go for. And they decided that they had to revisit Pluto's planethood because all of the additional stuff that we were finding was going to complicate it unless we kind of solidify the idea of planethood a little bit more thoroughly.
That makes sense to me. That's a compelling argument.
How do you feel about it, Joey? You get a little bit more attached and emotional.
Does
this pragmatic decision make sense to you, or are you pissed?
Pluto is forever part of who I am. And how dare they kick this little dog while he's down? He scrapped and he made it past that finish line that is the Kuiper Belt, and everyone needs to leave him the hell alone because he did it, and I'm proud of him.
So you're saying just make an exception for him because he's a cute little guy?
Yeah, and we already said yes, so don't just take it. Okay, we're all teachers, right? We said at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Can you give someone an A and then, you know, after you've given them the paper, change your mind and give them an F? No, we gave him the A.
Yeah,
that'd be
right.
Amazing if you had an A on a kid's test and then just be like, oh, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, this F. You can't do that. You can't do
dwarf
that.
Dwarf A. So as we all know, and I don't know if this is like gone to you, I don't know if you're a pragmatic Roger or an emotional Joey, but when it comes down to it, a lot of people were super upset about this. They were not, you know, not okay with it, and including some of the science world. One specific scientist was Alan Stern, and he was key.
Howard Stern, he's so funny.
Yeah. Do you remember when he would go around and make those noises? What kind of noises would he make, Joey?
He'd be like, pow, 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 pow.
That was a fart man reference. I was trying to get you to do farts.
Dude, I don't know anything about Howard Stern for real. I just know he's.
No, you don't?
No, not really. Should I?
There was a time when he would wear a costume that didn't have a butt. It was just his butt hanging out, and he called himself Fart Man, and he would just go around farting, and people loved it.
Oh, and he would, like, blow things up, right?
I don't understand why people like that.
I don't understand why anybody liked Howard Stern ever, really.
Yeah, because he would just, like, try to, like, objectify women and then, like, bring on people to, like...
We had to make fun of people.
And then make cheap fart jokes. And I hate people that make cheap fart jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joey. Well,
yeah.
I didn't do any. You guys are... Yikes. Okay.
It's so weird that I'm just trying to have this educated discussion about planetary bodies, and Joey just keeps trying
understand.
To put it.
You don't understand. You're putting me in this in a stressful situation right now because I love space, and you're trying to make me. I'm very passionate about Pluto, and I love space, and you're taking this all away from me right now, making me a fart man.
Okay, tell me about Howard Stern.
Okay, so Howard Stern's cousin, Alan Stern, writes this book called Chasing New Horizons Inside the Epic First Mission. It was all about the mission that was supposed to fly by Pluto so we could get a sense of what it was. And he really kind of attacks this, what he calls like a hastily drawn and flawed new definition of planethood. His quote was, "This criterion is imprecise and leaves many borderline cases, but what's worse is that they chose a definition that discounts the actual physical properties of a potential planet, electing instead to define planet in terms of other objects that are or are not orbiting nearby. This leads to many bizarre and absurd conclusions. For example, it would mean that the Earth was not a planet for its first 500 million years of history because it orbited among a swarm of debris until that time, and also that if you took Earth today and moved it somewhere else, say out to the asteroid belt, it would cease being a planet." And essentially what he's arguing is that the way that the IAU did the definition is that there are time constraints to planethood, and if the sun wasn't there, none of these things would be planets. So essentially, any celestial bodies that don't orbit a sun, in the IAU's definition, cannot be planets. That's his push. What do you guys think?
Yeah, 100%. Right? That's just giving Pluto some time to clear the runway. That's all I'm getting at.
I think that the IAU or whatever it's called, they're acknowledging that, right? They're like, it can become a planet, but it's not one now. So by saying that, like, oh, Earth doesn't count as a planet, you know, 70 billion years ago or whatever, it's like, yeah, maybe it didn't, but it does now.
But I guess what he's trying to say is, like, it's weird that it could be a planet physically unchanged just because of the things around it, that we're basically defining Pluto.
Okay. It's saying that by the trash around it.
Exactly. So why does that affect whether or not it's a planet?
I guess it's like saying like a mansion maybe is downgraded to a house if there's too much garbage around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Okay. I see what he's saying.
It's turned into a haunted mansion.
I mean, that's a good point. If a house has too many ghosts around it, is it a haunted house? You know,
and because if it has one ghost, no one really cares that much.
Yeah, what if it's
how
really
many
nice?
Ghosts does a house have to have before it becomes a haunted house? It's an interesting question. Four. Are you thinking about
really big
Casper's
one.
Uncles again?
Yeah, well, no. See, yeah, but that was the logic. But you know, one more past that, it's Casper. That's four. That's four ghosts.
Well, it would be three then to haunt it, right? Because Casper doesn't do the haunting, does he?
Sure, yeah, he does.
Can do
good hauntings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so them just living is a haunt?
Yes. A ghost just existing is haunting.
Is haunting.
Yeah.
Just not living, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that essentially the term you give it to living?
Yeah. So it comes from the Greek root word haunta.
Oh, hantavirus. I heard about that. That's very interesting. One more scientist, Philip Metzger. He was actually really prominent. He retired from NASA Kennedy Space Center. He's now a professor at University of Central Florida. He kind of came up with like a 9-point plan. And the biggest points of it is, he says Pluto isn't really that small. Out of 184 bodies in our solar system, Pluto is the 17th largest. So that put us in the 88th percentile. So he's like, that gives it something.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, going all the way back to that guy, when we mentioned him earlier, he was arguing that if we put Pluto closer to the sun, like maybe where Earth is, that all the ice would burn off and then it would have a tail. And because it has a tail, he says it acts a lot more like a comet.
Sure.
And therefore it couldn't be a planet. But then Metzger comes in, is like, one, that wouldn't happen. DeGrasse Tyson's science is wrong, but also this is just stupid. the IAU basically.
That's like saying if Pluto was in my garage, it'd be a car. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what he's kind of saying. And then he really kind of gets, like we've just been saying, that his big issue with the IAU's definition is that it's mixing up what he says is being or doing. So the first part where he's like, planets have to be round because that shows a sense of its mass. He's like, that's fine because that shows that the planet Pluto exists. Its being, its essence is rounded and massive. But what the clearing definition is, that point three, that Pluto doesn't succeed, is like, but that's what it's doing. So in the same way that we don't classify mammals by being carnivores or herbivores, we classify them by like being like warm-blooded vertebrates with hair or fur. Like, you get complicated because like, what if we started classifying them by what they ate or what they did, and then we moved them to a different environment where that would be impossible? Are they no longer mammals? That doesn't make sense, is what he's arguing. It's scientifically flawed and inaccurate, which I was like, oh, okay, that seems reasonable. Yeah. Hmm. And there's a lot of other stuff. The clearing of it, the, you know, dynamic definitions are flawed because we're making all these decisions off of one solar system. Like, the only solar system we really can look at is ours, and we're making like far-reaching definitions about planet existence with very flawed information because our you know, sample size is not very large. And as well as like, I mean, what it says about us, the idea of, he gets into like Pluto's planethood indicates the reality of nature, that, you know, what was great about Pluto is what what he says is great about Pluto is what the IAU says is flawed about it. Like, there's something cool that Pluto's orbit isn't the same as the other planets. And there's something cool about it. It kind of like ramming into stuff and cutting through Neptune's orbit, because it kind of rocks the scientific world on like old static concepts of like these kind of celestial bodies named after Greek gods, because they're like secure and they're reasonable. And we can kind of like put them in a box and say, that's what this thing is. In the vein of what he kind of ends with, that like what Pluto does is it throws this kind of weird Greco-Roman obsessed view of the solar system on its head. This is when I decided to go down the rabbit hole, and I spent way too much time making a conspiracy theory about space and so Pluto.
This is an original Brian conspiracy theory.
This is an original Brian. It was really late at night, and I don't know why I did this, because I'm like, I'm going to make this awesome. And it's probably going to make all of you think a little less of me. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, after you invented QAnon, I already thought a little bit less of you. So.
Yeah, it was BNon, the one that didn't really take off.
I'm probably going to think BNon more of you.
BNon is just Bannon.
Steve Bannon. It's all coming together.
See how it all connects? Yeah, I'm a flabby old man who looks like he's rotting to death. Okay, so let's do some Greek mythology. Are you guys aware that there's 12 Olympians?
No.
Okay, there are Zeus, Poseidon, Ares, Aphrodite, Hera, Demeter, Athena, Apollo, Artemis, Hephaestus, Hermes, and Dionysus. But I always thought that of these major gods, Pluto, a.k.a. Hades, and just, you guys know that those are the same names, right? Hades, Pluto, because Greco-Roman. Like
Greek versus Rome. Yeah.
Greek versus Roman. Yeah
it's so Greek and Roman.
Pluto
yeah.
doesn't fall under that, because as the god of the underworld, he's not Olympian, and therefore not of the major pantheon.
Pluto's the god of the underworld.
He's the god of the underworld, and the reason
that's
why
weird
he gets
that Disney named Mickey's pet after the god of the underworld, right?
It's super weird, right? I don't understand where that comes from.
What is Goofy the god of? That's what I want to know.
Goofy, Donald, Mickey, and then Greek god.
Pluto.
So anyways, one of the most compelling stories I've ever heard of the mythology of Pluto is this story of the rape of Proserpina. Do you know what I'm talking about, Roger?
No.
So the rape of Proserpina, again, Greco-Roman name, she's Persephone.
Okay.
In her other form. And apparently, Pluto gets the hots for, it's not that uncommon in Greek mythology for a male god to rape a female human or female god if he can get his hands on her.
Real jerks.
Real perverts and jerks. not okay. So when it comes down to this, the rape of Proserpina, I was like, okay, well, what if somehow this was actually happening? So like I said, Pluto could potentially be an offset binary system, Pluto being the god Pluto, Charon being Proserpina, aka Persephone, forever being chased around in this kind of dark underworld out in the, you know, beyond Neptune kind of thing. And then I looked into it more and I was like, okay, well, did he ever impregnate her? And apparently the first time I looked at this, I found that they had two children. And that actually coincided with what Hubble found, because they found two moons of Pluto, Nix and Hydra. And that Persephone or Proserpina and Pluto had two children, Melano and Zagreus. And then I actually found out that they found in 2011 and 2012, respectively, two additional moons. And then when I did deeper looking into it, there might be a third or fourth child of Proserpina and Pluto that might reside out there. So I was like, okay, well, that's maybe the equivalent of the underworld, yada, yada, yada. Good so far?
Yeah.
As good as this is. And then I was trying to understand, like, well, where did this come from, the rape of Proserpina? So it's either Ovid in the first century or Claudian in the fourth century. And the reason why Pluto does this, like, that was one of the reasons I was like, well, why is Pluto just a bad dude? Or is there something else? Pluto was manipulated into raping Persephone. Like, yes, he did find her very attractive, but he's kind of forced into this intentionally by Cupid and Venus. And they try intentionally to get him to do this thing so that they can kind of cast him out. Cupid is often seen by the Greeks as the son of Venus and Mars, which if you actually put that in celestial kind of template in our solar system, what's between Venus and Mars?
Earth.
Is it? Well, let me think. Let me think. My very eager mother gave us nine nachos. So Earth.
So it could be that.
There it is.
Or the Romans actually say that some of the mythology, Cupid is actually a younger, it's only the only gods older than Cupid by the Roman view sometimes are Chaos and Gaia, which is Chaos and Earth, and that they have this weird definition for it, causing entities to separate from themselves that which they already contain, which is super cryptic.
Wait, that's a definition of what?
A Roman definition to what Cupid was intended to do. If Cupid is not the son of Mars and Venus, but in fact this kind of age-old entity that only is predated by Earth and Chaos, that his purpose was to separate things from themselves, which is exactly essentially what he then convinces Pluto to do when he pushes him out to the thing. So my whole theory is, what if this was a hit job? What if the Greeks were right that the Olympians wanted Pluto out of the way, that these gods are actually represented by these planets, the underworld is actually the outer solar system, and they wanted Pluto out of this, and that this is what they're trying to do, and that the IAU is just a final extension of pushing Pluto out of god status, out of planet status, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no, I'm completely on board with that. It makes complete sense.
So in this conspiracy theory, the planets are actually gods, maybe?
Yes. They're consistently proving to us or working their magic on us so that somehow they got to the IAU to basically downgrade one of our gods to dwarf status because he's not Olympian.
So in this conspiracy theory, if all the planets are their god counterparts, Venus should be beautiful, right?
It is.
Have
you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've never been.
She's a little gassy, but there's that one photo that they sent down that probe. It's really cool looking.
You're not allowed to look at that.
Sorry. But, I mean, when I was done with this, I sat for a sec and I was like, I probably shouldn't have done this. But where I could kind of take this and legitimately think what's interesting about this and what I love about space, and I don't know if you guys want to chime in, we understand that the reason why there are elements in like the periodic table is that we get them from usually nuclear fusion. So the lightest elements we believe came from the Big Bang. Kind of the mid-range elements come from nuclear fusion. Little bang. That, what does that sound like, Joey, when a little bang happens?
No, and then stop it.
When there's a like a higher, heavier element that's like kind of supernovas. So for carbon, which I think is now I should have written this down. I think it's periodic table number 6. I hope I don't blow it. Yeah, sure. The that idea is, right. is that so carbon is made by fusion in stars. Like that's happening. And what's interesting about that as carbon-based life forms that we are as human beings, like what's cool to me about this is that this particular clump of carbon that decided to be named and act out a life called Brian Rosinante is talking to two other clumps of carbon about how interesting it is that the clumps of molecular nitrogen, methane, and carbon monoxide on the far side of our solar system, it's kind of a bummer that it got downgraded in my mindset because it used to be kind of important to us, which is kind of a neat thing because somehow in this whole space thing, we got to the point where the shit in space became self-aware, so self-aware that it gets attached to these kind of concepts like things like Pluto, makes stories about gods and all this stuff, and then eventually talks about it on a podcast because it needs a topic because all of these things actually do it. And so in kind of a way, like our very aspect of talking about Pluto does give it meaning, whether we call it a dwarf planet or a planet does actually matter. In the same way, it probably really matters less for the planet because it's an inanimate object on the far end of the solar system. I think the reason why people get so pissed is because it matters way more to us. That's my thought process on the whole thing.
I would really like it if you played some like emotionally yeah. swelling music during I'll that last that. Like 5 minutes.
What would that sound like, Joey?
Yeah. Yeah. Time,
I'm just going to do a lot of work on this clip that you just did, and I'm going to have it in the background.
Yeah. And orchestra to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. That's what I got. What do you guys think?
Love it. Love Pluto. Love you. I love us because we're all just basically carbon. The same yeah. gunk. We all came from the like same.
Thinking. Yeah. Thinking shit. Yeah.
Thinking carbon sons of guns. That's us.
Yeah. That's a cool band name.
Thank you.
Say you and I are eating lunch, Joey, and I spit in your milk and you're like grossed out by yeah. it. I'm like, hey, it's just carbon, baby. Would that work?
I mean, yeah.
We're all just carbon.
I listen, and I wouldn't want to drink the milk.
Hey, is milk carbon?
I have no. Way of yeah, I don't think that's a whole other episode, Roger. That's too much. Yeah,
that's next week.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, I like all this, and I love all of this.
I love all of you.
Hey, what? Guess what? I was gonna say, I like space dog, and then I thought, oh, I like a space dog.
I don't get it.
Oh. That's the name of the dog in space.
Oh, yeah. No, the Pluto or whatever. Is a dog in space.
Hey.
All right. Well, if you like this episode, leave us a rating and review.
And write us an email at storyholepodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at storyholepodcast.
If you ever like really deep emotions or you just want to let us know how you feel about the planet or Pluto the dog or Joey doing too many fart noises on this episode and want us to go ahead and stop it, we can have a chat.
And I want to leave you with one more space thing to think about that's really going to throw you guys on your ear. What if I told you that we kind of have a second moon?
Do we really?
Are you gonna show us your butt?
If you want to see the second moon, check out the Instagram, NSFW tag, and and then Google Kruinthni, which is the name of the moon.
This is a cryptic way to end the episode.
I know. Isn't it interesting? Fade in space twinkles right now.
Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. Space.